This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Hey, can we hear a hey? Well, hey. It's coming in a second. Hey. There it is. Hey, Chris, how are you? All right. Well, I'll tell you.
Doing well, Ray. What show are we on? What are we doing?
Yeah, for all of you who don't know, you've tuned down to the bottom of the dial, and you've got Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, here on the island of Long with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. And now that we've got ourselves set up in the studio, we'll listen to the great sounds of the Spencer Davis Group with Give Me Some Lovin', something we all need, Chris. Something we all need.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes 2 and 3 at a time there.
Yeah. So we're going to have a rollicking fun show today, I'll tell you that.
I heard. I saw it up in the clouds. You sent up smoke signals and everything.
Right. Sometimes we put things together at the last minute. This actually came together a little while ago, but there's confirmation needed, and I did confirm yesterday from Uncle Kathy. That's right, from Uncle Kathy, that Uncle Tony will be on with us today from Uncle Tony's Garage, or UTG, as he's known on YouTube. You should check him out because he has some really great videos up there, tons of content.
Yes, he does.
Contentious. Some people don't agree with, but you know what? You don't agree with everything you see on the internet or in the news, so that's par for the course. But he does
people
lay it down.
Don't agree with everything we do, so.
No, absolutely not. That's very true. So. Yeah, so so Tony will be on with us in a little while. He'll give us a call in, and we'll catch up. So, speaking of catch up, what's that on your shirt? I mean, what have you been doing lately? What's going on with?
Hey, come on! It's not me this week. It's all you. I'm not the award winner. You are.
Please tell
us. I want to hear all about the fine, upstanding engineering dust collecting trophy that you were able to pick up from our fine friends at the Malbin show. A very illustrious award. I'm sure you could use it to hammer nails and you hang your like bow ties on it or garter belts or whatever.
Right.
No, I'm only kidding. It's a proud award and I'm glad you won it.
It really is. And I'll tell you, like I tell everybody, I'm not a car show guy. I'm more of a cruise night guy.
Sure.
Because having been a car show judge since the late 70s, I've worked with a lot of judges and a lot of them don't know what the heck they're looking at. And like, I don't need these guys to look at my work and judge it. So,
right. You've heard your fair share of whining.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So I've always said, and I still contend this to this day, when a friend, like yourself, or like any of our other friends, will either compliment or pull out something that I've done or criticize it, I take that to heart. To me, that's the trophy right there, because these are the guys that I know and respect and trust. They know, a lot of times, know more than I do, so you.
Agreed. No, I agree with you.
So last week, I was awarded the Best Engineering Award at the Malba show for my Pontiac. And Bill said, yeah, there was another truck there that this guy built that was built and raced the night before, and he thought, yeah, this thing is engineered, like purposely built. And he got on that thread in his head of the engineering. He said, hey, I know another car that was purpose-built right from the inception. And maybe, you know, maybe this gets a little biased because since I know Bill and he's followed the build through, because a lot of people look at that car and, you know, I like you, Chris, I like to hide stuff in plain sight. I don't put everything out on display right in your face. But I guess since he knew that, he knew the underpinnings. He knew what went on behind the scenes of the car. And
I like to call it elegance in restraint.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, that's a
good
way.
Don't show him everything. Sure. Don't show him everything. Keep it clean. Keep it simple. Keep it clean.
Yeah.
And keep it functioning. And I'm all for it.
So that was a high award for me, high honor, high praise. And I definitely was humbled by that because, you know, I mean, a conversation is one thing, but to be given he only had two of those special awards with the piston, so you could have knocked me over with a piston ring, you know, with an oil ring.
And you could see some of the pictures on Facebook on MotorMouthRadio.com, right? Facebook,
yes.
And
Facebook.
Did you Instagram? I should check.
Of course. All of them on Twitter and Facebook and the web, where MotorMouthRadio.com, as it were, and on Instagram it's real_MotorMouthRadio. And, yeah, I think I put on Twitter, you're only limited to 4 pictures. On Instagram, you can go up to 10. So I probably put a couple more on Instagram. And, you can see.
Oh, there it is. Yep, got it.
There we go. So.
And your hairy arm, too. Very good.
Yeah, well, at least better than your hairy arm. And at least you can still see the trophy with my arm there. They would have had a part to seize if it was you. Like, get the rake. Switch us up at the podium again.
This isn't a shirt. This is a woolen vest.
Hey, here you go. Another piece of tribute that I take to heart. Our good friend Cliff just said he likes to call my car Poetry in Motion, which I've never heard that before. And again, thank you, Cliff. That is, to me, that's high praise when a friend who knows cars, I mean, these guys know what they're looking at. That's where it's all at. And so for people to go out, and I've seen grown men older than us, if you can believe it, they're still walking, they'll go out and they compete for that plastic trophy and they bitch and whine and complain. The same guy that beat him 8 shows in a row beats him again, like, no, he's got a rusty nut on the back. Oh, you got to look at it. You got to get underneath and get a magnifying glass.
He's got a rusty nut in the front, too.
Right. You got to get under the car with a magnifying glass, a telescope, 3 lights, and 2 spectroscopes, but you can see it. And like, oh, geez. And I've seen guys do that, literally fight and whine over the stupidest things at car shows.
Oh, yeah.
And for a plastic trophy.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I remember a very good friend of mine many years ago had a 61 Corvette, and he was at a Corvette show, and they penalized him for having the wrong wing nut on the air cleaner, and you had to see him completely become unglued because of it. And I'm like, wrong wing nut on the air cleaner? And you penalized for it? I mean, there was just so much wrong with what was just done.
Right.
What was just experienced and having a fit over it.
Yeah.
I find it a little too unnecessary. I'll be proud of my wrong wing nut. I don't care. If I have it on my car, it doesn't matter. And I'm like you in a way. I kind of forego the judging if ever I'm showing my car. And usually it starts with laughter first before they start judging.
Sure.
Laughing and pointing first before judging. So when they get to that stage, I'm like, don't bother judging it. Just keep going.
Yeah.
So the only award I win is no other car like it award.
Right.
So it's usually not either that or traveled the closest from home.
Right.
Because it was too busy. Best smoke screen. How's about that one? That was always
and you know, Chassis Jones was just telling me that, his again, awesome ride, which I appreciate. Again, another guy who knows his car's under construction, so he's gotta wait. Well, yeah, that was the same thing, but like to reiterate, I built my car backwards by all accounts. Most guys will pull the car all apart and then maybe send the chassis out for paint or powder coat, whatever they're doing, and then send the body shell out to be painted. And then as the engine and transmission and rear end's being done, then they'll reassemble. Last thing I want to do is reassemble a painted body. I said, oh, hell no. So I did the bottom first. I did the chassis and the suspension and the rear end first. The body was in rough you know, rough body work in prime, and then I put the engine transmission in and I drove it. You know, that's remember we did a video where you know,
I can honestly say I think you the only person I know that actually enjoyed his restoration.
Oh yeah,
that you put it together. Don't get me wrong, but usually the car is in pieces for years and years and years. You don't get a chance to enjoy it until it's all together, and then finally you're left with a finished product, obviously, to enjoy. You enjoyed it all through the stages,
right,
which I thought was pretty remarkable.
Now, you see, I call that a rolling restoration because as I was doing restoration and I was driving it, and it, you know, it was in prime. I got so much attention from the car in prime, you know.
I remember.
With the trim off of it and everything, people, you know. So that was cool, and like you said, I still got to enjoy it, and I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to worry about the dings or dents or, you know. But, you know, it was great. Now I worry about it because it's a piece of artwork. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do?
So, now you got money in it. I got finished money in it.
Yeah.
You know, you got mechanical money. That's one thing. But now you have money.
Again, I think the overall takeaway for this is I think I have better friends than most people. And the reason is this. It's because
you owe the money.
Well, yeah, and they don't ask for it, right? I know you've been very good about it. Someday I'll give you a credit card back, but no, I always say it's, you know, the painter gets the credit. The painter is the guy when people look at that beautiful guy. Yeah, the painter, because the painter, that's what you see. My friends get on their knees and look under the car. They'll look, you know, down through things and say, hey, how'd you do that? They're all mechanical builders and guys who fabricate and build. And
true.
To me, those are better friends because, again, they'll also get into your life a little deeper than just the, just the guys at the bar, you know.
But a lot of times you have to help them up.
Yeah, well, that's it. But I enjoy my friends on that level, like Pirate Paul and John and Matco Man Brian. You, I mean, there's so many. Mike and his son, all these guys, because they know to look past the window dressing and like, okay, but how did you make it work? How did you keep that thing on the road, you know? And now the stories are totally different.
Right, and that's always good about having engineering friends because they up your game.
Oh, for sure.
So you could tell them to up theirs. No.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. Yeah, I was going out with Chassis John. He was doing he's building two Firebirds that are recreations of the car that he had in the past that was, you know, a national winner of awards and all. Mm-hmm. And for speed contest, it was a brute. But he's doing his welding, and the same thing is he's going through shaking off the cobwebs and, you know, getting his chops back, and you can see it, and he's right back into form, you know. So, and he's the first one to come out and say, oh, look at this crap that I did today. You know, it's like, this is all has to be redone. But that's what we do. You know, we share our successes, but we share our failures too.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I love about this program.
Yeah. Well, we've shared our failure here for many, many years, and we still will do it. Yeah.
Right. More than most.
Exactly.
But it's the truth. And that's what I always found about having engineers as friends. When you look at your work, like Chassis John would, he looks at his work, and probably the first thing in his mind, which is the first thing in mind, is what is so and so going to say about this when they see it? Are they going to look and point and go, this is crap. We have to repair this. You can't let this go. Because that was me as a teenager. I'd be like, oh, put the fender on. Who the heck cares if everything lines up? Doesn't really matter. But then I realized, I look at the car and go, no, because I know some of my friends are going to point and go, look at that crappy job. Fix it.
Right.
And who wants to hear them? I don't want to hear my friends.
No.
I don't want to hear you half the time.
Well, no, because you're going to see them every day or every other. You're going to see them a lot, so you better make sure it's right. No, that's very
exactly.
True.
If I put stuff together sometimes, I go, if Ray sees this, I'm never going to hear the end.
You've
of
said that so quite a lot. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, I've said
I
that.
I still say it.
You know, I just
I
said
still
it.
Torture myself.
Yeah. No, I just said it the other day. Yesterday, I guess it was. I was, you know, it was another job I did. I did a full brake upgrade on the FJ, you know, with stainless steel, carbon infused slotted drilled rotors and ceramic pads, the whole nine yards. All the rusty parts came off, and all the new stuff went on. I did it at home, not on a lift. So, man, I'm still hurting from doing that on Thursday. Oh my God. Never underestimate
the, for me, young man.
Never underestimate the power of the ergonomic power of a lift. I'm telling you.
Yes, that's why I admire you that you have the use of a lift.
But this time I didn't. I did it at home. So the week before, when my older daughter and her fiance and his brother went down to for a trip down south, I went over his vehicle, the Jeep. I took all the brakes. I talked about it. I took all the brakes apart and just lubed everything. And I was telling my daughter's fiance, like, you know, usually what happens with these aluminum wheels is they get stuck on the hub. And yet,
sure,
you hit it with the palms of your hands. Then you hit it again. And then you sit down and you give it the 2-foot gorilla
right.
kick.
And give it to Bruce Lee.
And, of course, all those wheels came right off. So I showed him how we cleaned the mating surface with the Rolock disc, and I had him in there with the Never Sees, and I said, you know, there's a meme that goes around about a guy that said, you know, like a picture of a bottle of Never Sees and says, when you use too much of this, you look like this, and it's the Tin Man, you know, this all silver.
Yes, because it gets everywhere.
So, of course, that car made me a liar, and all the wheels came off. But mine, which wheels I've had off and coated, I had to kick the crap out of every single wheel to get them off.
I believe it.
So that was probably part of my back problem. But
totally understandable.
I posted that too. That's up on the social media sites. But that was so again, when I just saw him when he came back from the trip, I said to him, I said, you know, I just thought of you the other day because I was working on my vehicle. I said, remember what I was telling you about the wheels? I said I had to kick every single. I wanted to just show you how to do one, and I couldn't do every one. I had to kick. I said, and then I had to seize them all up. I said, and of course, you know, over the good thing was I was coated with a nice coat of rust and grease already, so the Never Sees didn't have a chance to stick because when I cleaned my hands, it all just flushed off. So. I wasn't the Tin Man, luckily.
I told you, wear rubber gloves.
You know, I even with working on a Jeep, I did. I started off, because I know when I'm doing a particularly greasy job, I will put the surgical right. gloves on. The problem is, yes. once you take them off to do something else, to put another pair on is very hard to do, because your hands have already been, like, sweaty and whatever.
Ah, a remedy for that, young man. Baby powder.
Yeah, I know.
Baby powder on the side.
Yeah.
So I smell nice and fresh.
I just go, you know what, I just go back to what to my old thing and just say, you know what the hell? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get greasy. Big deal. So my hands had like a haze of of like that
of
grease.
Never
like,
sees on you.
Of like 2 days. And then, you know, the skin wears off. So.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's go to the phones and we'll go to the phone. Sure. Let's see what we got happening here. Let's pick up and say, hi, you're out with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, what's going on?
Hey, Uncle Tony!
Hey! Cucine mio!
I've been called worse by better people than you.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for that.
How are you doing, my brother?
Very good, Tony. And I tell you, it's, you know, we're glad to have you back with us. It's, I tell you, dude, you lay down the content, you keep it real, and that's what we love. And our listeners love it, so we figured, thanks for giving us some time out of your busy schedule, because I'm sure Uncle Kathy's probably filming you right now.
Actually, no. She's making coffee. So
oh,
I can try to stay awake.
Good. So she got herself a morning off. Good for her. I got to tell you, props to you to Uncle Kathy because she is the hardest working video woman that I've known. I mean, to keep up with you, she's got to work.
I wish you could hear that. She's walking across the room right now. They're throwing props to you, babe. They're saying that you're the hardest working. Thank you.
Yes.
There she goes to get my coffee.
Yeah. And I, you know, nice. I wonder about that because I watch all your content and I say to myself, you know, my wife is kind of into what I do, but not really, really. And if she was videoing me, like, there'd be times I know with stuff you're doing, like lighting stuff on fire and throwing stuff, she'd be like, I'm out of here. You're a nut.
Well, I mean, she's been around since, like, you know, 1982. I think it was.
Yeah, I've had mine. I've had mine longer.
I can't speak for longevity on my end, but right. I'm with you guys.
I got her young and broke her in right.
You know, right.
She went through the whole street racing thing, then she went through a whole nitro thing and all that.
Right.
So it's like everything that we do today is like so mellow
yeah.
you know, compared to those crazy days.
Right.
And she's like, she's okay. She's good with it.
Right. Right.
So I was going to say she stuck with you, so
well,
she's
right.
got to have this is something on the ball. She yeah. stuck with you.
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, and my wife did too. And that, just to tie in the story on my Pontiac, when I finally got when I had the engine in and got it running on the rebuild, you know, I had to come out to see, and she was actually, you know, the first time I fire it up, she's like, you know, I'm in the car watching the oil pressure. There's no nose on the car, so I could see everything. And she starts flailing her arms and making noise. I'm like, what the hell's that? She goes, it's on fire. It's leaking gas. It's going to be on fire. I'm like, I come out of the car. I look, all right, the fuel filter's spewing. All right, shut it off. Tighten up the. I did an Uncle Tony. Tightened it up. You know, go back in, start it up again. I said, because what's going to happen? Gas burns slow. It's not going to really kill us, you know? Mm-hmm. So started it again, and then it's running, and I come out, and I look, and she had this, like, hazy look in her eyes this time. I'm like, what's the matter? And she told me, she goes, I just relived all the years of this car from when we first dated, and you picked me up, and, you know, when we drove it every day, and then when it got laid up and, you know, mothballed, and now when it's back to life, she goes, I didn't think I'd ever see it back on the road. So, you know, she had the same buy-in.
Neither did we.
So, Tony, a good woman like that is good to find, and you keep them. So
That's the truth. That's the truth.
We're with you. So listen, you've got quite a lot of stuff going on your site, but beside, you know, you pick a topic. You got Junkyard Jet, you got Plan Z, cleaning spark plugs with fire, slant six Miatas, and EV cars catching fire. I mean,
well, you got to keep throwing content out there. I've talked about this before. I treat the channel like a car magazine, because, you know, I used to do car magazines,
right.
So we would do, Cars Illustrated, which was really kind of like I don't want to say a copy, but we patterned it after the car craft from the early 1970s, late 1960s, early 1970s. And, you know, basically a general interest, drag racing oriented or gearhead, sort of more difficult, like traditional straight line based magazine that covers all of the different aspects of the hobby sport. You know, so if you're into drag racing, but you're also going to be into this, and, you know, you're going to have this kind of car, and you can do this kind of work and these kind of tools. So we try to do the channel like an old school car magazine.
Right.
And so we bounce around, like the ground zero is things that go fast in a straight line, but we bounce around the universe of stuff on the periphery. So if it's an off-road Jeep, or if it's an electric car fire or whatever, it's all based on that. Does that make any sense?
No, it did. And I'll tell you, watching you for a couple of years now, in the beginning I had a little trouble following you because you do tend to jump around.
And, I do.
And I know what it is. I know what it is. It's your stream of consciousness. You start to talk about something. You say, no, wait a minute. I got to talk about this first. I do the same thing with people. I'm like, you can't understand this until we talk about this. And, you know, once I got your gait and your pace, it's a lot easier now. And
it's called an Italianism.
I guess maybe that's it. Yeah.
It's the truth. I mean, I'm hardcore ADD. You know, so it's like... It's my stream of consciousness, and sometimes it'll just be, I'll be halfway through a sentence and then realize, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to mention this, or, oh, that's an important element that I have to throw in there. And poor Kathy, like, she does all the editing also. So a lot of times she'll have to, like, try to make sense of what I said, you know what I mean, and then chop it down so it's legible. But, yeah, I tend to bounce around like that a lot because that's how my brain works. And
right.
We try to do everything in one take. It was like, no, like if you'll see edits, but it's only because I stuttered badly and she had to pop that out.
Right.
But we don't shoot different scenes. We don't rehearse anything. Like before we do a video, I'll run through the subject matter in my mind. Oh, we have to cover this, this, and this, and I have to show this, this, and this. But then that's it. Once she says action, it's just like I go and I keep going until it's done.
Right, right. No, that's great because it's easier for you guys, you know, and of course the two of you working together, you know each other, you have each other's rhythms, and, you know, I mean, if you don't by now, there's something wrong. But
Tony, just got to ask a question.
We want the audience to know that I'm sincere and I'm the real thing, and it's unrehearsed, and, you know, we've got that relationship. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to reading from a script, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but I just feel more comfortable being myself and just, you know, being out there, you know, just unedited, raw, and go.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story, Chris. I'm sure you back me up in this. Chris and I have done, through the years, have had ability, had chances to do commercials and different things. And, you know, they gave us a script, and we're like, we screwed the pooch so bad. Then even one time they said, all right, you guys write your own script. And we did. We wrote it all out, and then we had and it still sounded like crap. I said, you know what, throw it away. Just, what's the topic? We'll talk about it, you know? And maybe, Chris, maybe that's the Italianism. I don't know. You know, we're ad-lib guys.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, totally have been. And that's why we enjoy what you do, Tony. And just for the fact... How did you migrate from doing magazines to YouTube? What was the catalyst?
Oh, man, there were so many different steps along the way.
Well, moving to a different state might have been one of them, right?
Well, here's the thing, right? I'm a workaholic. I mean, I'm a workaholic. I'm not happy. I'm not content. I'm not relaxed unless I'm involved in something. Mm-hmm. And I got thrown out of school when I was 16. And I went right to work, and I literally have not. I mean, maybe I've had a day or two off, but I've worked day and night for I'll be 60, so I've worked day and night for the last 46 years, and I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not. It's not that I want to be an entrepreneur. It's that I can't work for others. I don't play well with others.
Yeah.
I have to go with my own thing. So because of that, I've done so many different things. I've had so many different careers, so many different lives, so many different, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just kept bouncing around, doing different things. I've had a lot of successes, a few failures, but the YouTube thing just, I can explain to you, it just evolved. And it was like, okay, well here, you've got a lifetime of experience doing all of these different things. Now just package it all together, throw it in videos, and send it out. And that's what we did.
Right.
And it's worked so far.
Yeah, and then, of course, now being down in Tennessee, you have the ability to have shop space, and the new shop space is phenomenal. Stuff you couldn't do that up here. You know, I'm still in New York. You couldn't do that up here. It's unless you're, you know, a millionaire.
Well, I mean, I don't want to make it, I don't want to, like be down on New York, but it is where I came from. You know what I mean? I was mm-hmm. born and raised. I spent the first 40 years of my life there. I mean, you can't do anything up there. Every single thing you do is a hassle. Everything is a problem.
Right.
And sure. You come to a place like Tennessee or any of the flyover country, and it's a completely different experience.
Right.
You know, we have freedom here. I mean, we actually have freedom.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, and right. I hear you loud and clear, so... I'm plotting my exit move, so don't, you know.
I like the way you call it flyover country.
Where I am right now is becoming a mecca for YouTubers.
Yeah.
So I'm in Murfreesboro, and I have Scotty Kilmer just moved here last year.
Right.
So he's up in Clarksville. Vice Grip Garage just moved here last month. He's down in Lewisburg. Whistle and Diesel moved here about 3 months ago. He's on the other side of the city from where I am right now.
Wow.
So it's like Middle Tennessee is becoming a mecca for YouTubers.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's great. And those are all.
Do you ever
great
run
channels.
Into any of them? Yeah. Do you ever run into them in the middle of videoing? Do you ever run into any of them?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I'm sure our paths will all cross. I talk to Derek from Vice Grip every once in a while, but he's like I said, he's busy with the move and making videos and all that. So I stay out of his hair until he's settled in. And I'll bring him a pizza or something.
Right. Right. Ah, you know what? When I was down in Tennessee a few years ago, I was speaking with a local woman. She was actually from Massachusetts, but she's been in Tennessee a long time. And we were talking about food, and my wife and I were talking about how, well, you know, what about Italian food? And, well, we actually cook. She was, forget it. You know, said, well, we make our own. I said, yeah, we make the sauce. We make the meatballs with the three different meats and the garlic and the onions. I said, you know, now we get the sausage and we put in the braciole. And she said, whoa, what was that? What was that last thing you said? I'm like, what, brajol? She goes, yeah, what is that? I'm like, you don't know. I said, pork or beef? I said, oh, let me tell you something. You haven't lived. I'm like, you poor woman. I feel so bad. You don't understand. You don't know what you've ever had, like, a good pork brajol. Like,
but that was a long time ago. See, it's changed, you know? We've been inundated with people from the suburbs of, you know, New York, Pennsylvania, or Philadelphia, Chicago, so there's a lot of Italians. This is a food mecca, and I'm a foodie. I'm a degenerate, disgusting foodie, right? I'm bad. I'm really bad. So, but like from where I'm sitting right now, within let's say a 15 mile radius, there's like literally every single thing you could possibly want is here and in abundance.
Right.
You know, every type of food, every type of, you know, atmosphere. It really is. It's an amazing place. You guys, you guys got to come down, visit. I give you a tour of the place. You will not want to go back.
Yeah, oh, I know. We were down in, we did the Eastern Tennessee thing last time. We didn't get west, but I plan on coming back and, you know, and looking at more stuff. So, yeah, because, again, just the projects, like I said, that you get involved in. Plan Z, Chris, Plan Z is a slant six race car. You know, like, yes. And you say, what?
That's awesome.
And every time I look at it, I still question, like, did he put one too many holes in that chassis? I really wanted
to.
I don't know. Well, it didn't fall apart yet, so I guess no. And it's just this working man's project that's just in progress. And you know what? I want to get back to that, and I want to talk about a couple of things, but we need to take our bottom of the hour break. So, Tony, if you'll hang with us for a few minutes. Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour?
Of course we do, Ray. This week, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour are drivers who check their oil without the use of a rag. Do you approach the vehicle, pop the hood, pull the oil stick, look at it, and then realize you have no rag to wipe it off? Well, how long have you been doing this now? You've been doing this for years. It's like Tony's been doing it for 46 years. I mean, honestly, I'm not addressing those individuals that keep a rag secretly stowed away under the hood. Those drivers are in a class by themselves. We're saluting those who wipe off the stick with their fingers and then wipe their hands on their pants or on their shirt. And a special salute to those who wipe it in their hair or on their arm hair, too. So if your oil-changing technique does not require the use of a rag, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
You know, that's like Tony just said. You know, with being a foodie, like, you got a shirt, you got sleeves, like, that's what they're for, right?
That's what they're for.
Your mom used to clock you over the head for that. Like, hey, yeah. And before we take a break, let me mention that you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 8:30 to hear Jewish Talk here on this station, where Rabbi Pearl, he thinks in Jewish, but he speaks in English, featuring the best in Jewish talk and issues affecting the Jewish community. So that's 8:30, and he is a very wise man. So, Tony, hang with us, please. We're going to take a quick break. We just have to do a quick spot, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio. With Chris, Ray, and Uncle Tony on 90.3 WHPC. Keep where you got it.
I feel a need for this.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
The Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, we're back. Tony, I'm sorry. I think we cut you off right there at the end. If you were, if you had a great thought, repeat it.
I feel a need for pastrami now.
Oh, yeah. Cats is dead. Yeah, pastrami on rye with mustard, sauerkraut. Oh, geez. Yeah, that's a good one, right?
So you see, you were asking about Plan Z.
Yes.
So,
oh, my gosh. I'm looking at it now.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I'm looking at it now. It is like Swiss cheese. How many holes did you drill in this thing? What does it weigh, like 950 pounds? Holy smokes.
Well,
that is amazing.
Dripping, ready to run, it's 2,116 pounds.
Wow, that's great.
Wow. That's
but there's a whole, see, there's a whole story behind that car, and it actually goes back to 1986 when I did Cars Illustrated magazine. So I did a project called 1299 for 1299. And the idea was to take well, back then you could buy muscle cars cheap. So I had a 70 Roadrunner. And the idea was to run a 1299 ET for a total investment, including the car, of $1,299.
Wow.
So I got the car down to like 1316 or something along those lines when it tossed the rod. But it was close enough. And I said, you know what? It's done. You know, mission accomplished. So about 10 years old, well, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, a fellow named Jamie Meyer, Dr. Jamie Meyer, who's he was the head of Chevrolet Performance at the time, then he was the head of CMA, and now he's PRI. Right. He's the head of PRI. He wanted to relaunch Cars Illustrated magazine, which was when I did the $12.99 project for. So he says, can you do another $12.99? So I said, sure, but I want to do it differently. So I want to do something like out there. So I want to do a slant six dart. And I says, okay, that's a little crazy. Mm. But anyway, we decided that was what we're going to do. We're going to take this car, we're going to run $12.99 for $12.99, and we're going to keep the slant six in it. So the only way to do that effectively now is to lose weight. So this car was gutted. And then I started drilling holes. And that effort, that Cars Illustrated Revival magazine, it went, it vaporized. It didn't happen, but I had the car. Yeah. And so it hung around, and I liked it so much that I think I'll do something with it at some point, right?
Right.
So I had it at one of my old shops, and it was where it was parked, it was like right outside the office. And I said, you know, I need to get more weight. I got to drill some holes in that thing. So I kept the drill and I stepped it with an extension cord on the car. And every time I would walk past it, going from the office into the shop or vice versa, I would stop and I would drill a hole.
Wow.
I love it. That's fantastic.
So without the drive shit in it, you could go to any corner of that car and just lift it off the ground. Like, it doesn't weigh anything.
Right.
But it didn't take any weight out of the structural, out of the unibody section of the car. So in other words, like from the firewall to the rear bulkhead and the roof, the door jams, everything that comprises the crash structure, the part of the unibody is intact. I didn't touch any of that.
Right.
But everything else is Swiss cheesed.
Right.
And it still has full glass in it?
Yes. All glass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, unlike the what was it, the Rustler, the guy you met at the track with the dart, his door was like flopping around like.
Well, the two cars weigh exactly the same.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of fiberglass. He's got a lot of really lightweight stuff in there. And mine is just really, it's all steel and it's all real glass.
Right.
So, and I do that with my cars because if I want to put a project on the side for a while, I want to be able to just roll it outside, let the elements hit it for a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is, and then when I feel like getting back to it, I just need to clean it up and roll it back in.
That's
why I keep all my stuff the way I do. You know, it's all metal. Fiberglass parts, they warp, they delaminate. The plastic windows, they what happens with them.
Yeah.
So I leave the stuff that allows the car to the outside, and I give up a little bit of the weight penalty.
Right. That's good. Tony, two other big topics, big threads on your channel that, I mean, there's so many other smaller ones that I sit there and I talk to you on the TV because I'm agreeing with you, but the Junkyard Jet build and the Slant 6 Miata, those two, well, actually, not even the Slant 6, that's another great car, but between the Junkyard Jet, I think, and the thread that you were hitting on with the auto parts debacles these days. I don't know which one you want to dive into, because they're both, you know, Junkyard Jet is just a great feel-good piece by getting these young guys involved with cars, but the auto parts, we're all feeling that one, you know?
Well, the Junkyard Jet thing was, what happened was, I had these two kids, Austin and Garrett, and they each had a car, and they both wanted to go drag racing the car, but they had different ideas what they wanted to do, and so it was hard for me to split my time between the two of them. So I says, you know what, guys, here, have a car. So I gave them that Plymouth Valiant, and I says, build this thing. I says, you finance it, you find the parts, you do the work, and I'll guide you. You know, if you go too far off in one direction or another, I'll help you out. You know, you reach a hurdle, I'll help you out. So that's what happened with that. And they've been working on it. Actually, I'm here at the house right now, and they're at the shop working on the car.
Right.
I love it.
But that's an ongoing thing. It'll probably be going on for the next, I don't know, I'd say probably 3 or 4 months before the thing actually rolls.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, like you said, they're new guys. They're newbies, so they have to make the mistakes that we've all made 1,000 times already. And that's the purpose of the project. I will say one thing, because people have reiterated this to me because they know we've had you on the show, and you know, they think I got this like hotline to the guest. I'm like, well, in some respects, maybe I do, but not like they think. sometimes, and this is just a little bit of constructive criticism on the videos. When you guys feel like the one that was up yesterday, when you have that back door open, the door that faces the street, the especially when it rains, the tire noise from the rain is very prevalent on the video.
I know.
Okay.
I know. We do need to do stuff. I know.
Okay. No, you know what? Just throwing it out there because it's something that's come back to me. And they said, you got to tell Tony. I'm like, all right, I'll tell him.
I think Tony knows.
We've been pretty lax with, like, things, you know, as far as, like, sound and lighting. And I know we do have to step up our game on that.
Okay.
Don't let Kathy hear you say any of the objects.
No.
She's on that case all the time. You gotta get this, gotta get that, gotta get there. I'm like, okay, all right, tomorrow, let's shoot this video now, though. Let's get this out of the way.
Right. So on this auto parts shortage thing, I mean, like I said, we've all been bit by it. I was bit by it this week. You did a couple of videos from a parts store, so, like, damn.
Wait, no, I want to hear your story.
Well, the same thing, just, you know, parts not, you know, not available, simple stuff, just not available in the parts stores. And, you know, I even had a problem once. This is going back a little while. I bought a pair of brake pads for a car. And, I walked to the auto parts store. It's by my house. I come home, take them out of the box to put them on it, and there's used brake pads in the box. And I was like, wait a minute. So I go back to the store, and I put them down, and the guy says, what, you back already? I'm like, yeah, here, take this. He goes, you don't have to, no, there's no core charge on brake pads. I'm like, no, open the box. He's like, wow, how'd you change them so fast? I'm like, no, these were in the box when I opened it. He's like, how the hell did that happen? He goes, you're screwing with me. I'm like, listen, come on, I'm trying to get this job done. You think I'm going to screw you? Somebody probably returned them back to another store, got credit for them. They put them on a shelf. It went through the system, and it got sent to my store, and no one ever thought to look. So, you know, somebody got beat.
That.
Yeah.
I can top that.
Okay, what do you got?
I did it with lifters. I bought a set of, I did a cam on an engine. This is about 2 years ago now, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I did a cam. The lost two loads. Things went flat, okay? Mm-hmm. So I took the lifters, and I sent the cam back to the manufacturer, and the lifters I had purchased at a regular auto parts store over here. So I packaged up the lifters. I says, listen, I don't know if it was the cam. I don't know if it was these lifters, but I'm returning these things. And they're like, yeah, we've had this happen before. No problem. So they take the lifters back. They refund me on the lifters. All right, now it's all done. Forget about it. We move on. A year later, I'm doing another motor, okay? And I need a set of lifters, and I can't get them from my usual source. So I run over to the auto parts store, and I say, hey, I need a set of small buck Mopar lifters. Okay, we'll have them here. Oh, wait, we've got them on the shelf. It says we've got 16 of them here. I says, great. Yeah, well, 14 of them they have.
Uh-huh.
I says, great, I'll take those. I can scratch a group more. Well, it was the ones that I had returned the year before.
Yeah. Wow. That is
bizarre. Holy smokes, that's incredible.
Yeah, I actually did a video about that.
Well, that's it. Both of these stories speak to the local stores' ineptitude, I guess. But the bigger thing is, like, in the parts chain now, what's in the supply chain, how, you know, we can't get stuff. And it's, you know, I was in Walmart the other day, freaking Walmart. I wanted brake fluid, and there were so many holes in that aisle, in the oil aisle. And I know Walmart, they keep their stock up well. And I was like, wait a minute, if they're bigger than Amazon, if they're having supply problems, geez, like, what the hell's going on, you know?
Oh, not by me. The 5-gallon jug of the Walmart brand oil goes right off the shelf.
Yeah.
The second it doesn't get cold.
Yeah.
Second it's on the shelf, it's gone.
I see things about Walmarts all over the country with bare food shelves.
Yeah.
In different locations. Here we're not having any disruptions at all. But I see where in big sections of the country, there are problems. And when it comes to auto parts, it's simple things that they can't get. It was AC parts they couldn't get there in the summer, and now they couldn't get brake drums or rotors. I just did a video a couple of days ago about a brake rotor that had gotten returned.
Right.
The thing actually shattered.
Shattered. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. That was one of the ones you did in the store. Yeah, you have to. That was frightening.
I have never seen anything. I've seen rotors abused. I've abused rotors,
mm-hmm.
But I have never ever seen one break like that, literally shattered. So, right. And if you read the comments on it, there's 100 comments on there by guys that work in the metals industry or they're metallurgists, or they're like, yeah, that's just junk. That's like the, you know, it's the bad mix of metal, bad temper, you know, bad treatment, whatever it happened to be.
Yeah, and
it's obviously nothing should ever break like that.
I will say, since I started watching YouTube, my favorite part is often the comments more than the video sometimes. And
oh, yeah.
I can't keep up with yours, man. You get comments out the yin yang. You guys, they like flood you in the first 5 minutes. It's like, geez.
Well, we do videos. See, here's the thing about YouTube, and people don't really think, people think of YouTube as being like TV. Right, but it's not. See, YouTube is a community, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to do videos for an audience. You're supposed to do videos for your community. Mm-hmm. And then that community, it goes back and forth in the comments. That's why the comment section is so important.
Yeah.
It's just like when we do lives. Like every Wednesday night we do a tech talk. Every Sunday night we do just a general, you know, hangout thing.
Right.
And it's not about a dissertation to the audience. It's about give and take with the audience.
Yeah.
See, and that's where a lot of people lose the whole YouTube, like the idea of YouTube. The idea of YouTube isn't to substitute for TV, even though it is replacing TV. The idea is to have a community and have this brain trust of people, like-minded people, to jump into the comments and throw their two cents in.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's smart thinking, yes.
But the guys that comment on your stuff, I tell you, some of these guys, some of them, like, I don't know, some of them I want to strangle, some I want to kill, some of them, and some of them make me laugh. It's like all listeners.
We get a fair amount of trolls.
Yeah.
But we get some really brilliant people in there.
Yeah. That's very true. Very true.
I always say good press or bad press, as long as they spell our names correctly. That's right. Fine with
bingo, me. Bingo, exactly. Say whatever you want to say it on me, just make sure you spell my name right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Got that right.
That's very for sure.
But yeah. Back to the auto parts thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm of a position right now, not a position, I'm of an opinion right now, is that we're seeing a deliberate takedown of our ability to keep our infrastructure, transportation, and whatnot running.
Mm.
Sure.
I don't think this is by accident.
Okay. Yeah, and it's scary because it could really cripple. They could cripple the country in just, you know, just one more little itch of that dial, and it can just cripple everything.
Sure.
You know? I got news for you, but we're already crippled.
Well, to a degree, yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure. We're already crippled. Right now, we're staggering on momentum.
Yeah. Yeah, forward motion, yeah.
Yeah, on momentum.
Yeah. It was like that night at the bar, Chris. You know, you just kept walking, going forward. You thought you were walking, but you really weren't. Doing a Frankenstein.
Yeah. Fumbling for the keys. No, I wasn't fumbling for the keys.
So, Tony, you know, back to the lifters. You had said something a couple of videos ago. You made a... I guess it was a theory of yours where you felt that companies were using used lifters. You remember that? Yeah, that really caught me.
Wow.
That was interesting. I've passed that one on. Can you get into that a little bit?
Well, it actually came from one of our viewers in one of the comments.
Okay.
We have one viewer. His name is Tom Muse.
Mm-hmm.
And he started his own channel after participating in our comments. And he puts out some really great stuff. It's a really simple presentation. It's just like him in his basement or in his garage, and he's got a whiteboard type of thing. And he had a lifter issue back in 2003 or 2004, at the very beginning of this like weirdness that's been going on. It's been culminating. And he's the kind of guy that wants real answers. And he noticed that the stuff was bleeding down. Didn't understand why it was bleeding down. So he took a couple lifters apart. And he found that the guts didn't quite match the outside. And the guts, the plunger and whatnot, inside the lifter, didn't fit the lifter. The lifter had obviously been honed on the inside and been cleaned.
Mm.
So it added, you know, whatever it was, half a thousandth of an inch, and it was enough for these things to, like, bleed down. So he was like, why would anybody do that? So he starts making phone calls, and he gets a hold of somebody in the chain, and he says, yeah, we're not producing them anymore. These are all reconditioned.
Uh-huh.
Now, right away, when I threw this out there in the comments, right away, there's people like, I've never returned a lifter. I've never gotten a cord charge on a lifter. These lifters don't get reconditioned. I say, no, you're missing the idea. You're missing the point. Scrap yards, junk yards, scrap yards, recyclers, take these engines and they ship them off to rebuilders.
Right.
You know, so you drop off your car at the pull apart, whatever it is, and after people are done, you know, scavenging the bumpers and radio out of it and whatnot, the motor and trans get sucked out and they get sent off to rebuilders. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the world. You've got a cumulative accumulation, I should say, of engines that have been around for dozens of years, and they have 55-gallon drums full of small-block heavy lifters, 55-gallon mm-hmm. drums full of small-block forward lifters, small-block all-par lifters. They break these engines down, they sort them out, and then they recondition these parts and send them back out again. So what you're buying, what you think is a new piece, isn't a new piece. There isn't enough demand. So it comes, if you talk about fly tappets, okay, nothing has been produced but fly tappets in 20 years, better than 20 years.
Right.
So it doesn't pay for a manufacturer to actually go through all the machining processes and so on and so forth to create new fly tappets. So they go to these rebuilders and say, I need 10,000 small block Chevy lifters. And they weigh the 55 barrel drum and say, oh, okay, here's 10,000 of them. And then those lifters get reconditioned. And that's what we're working off of right now. That's like the inventory for these older engines. That's what's out there right now.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that they're just reconditioning old used parts.
Right.
Holy smokes.
Well, I mean, a lifter really shouldn't have, you know, when they reconditioning lifters is nothing new. They've been doing it since there have been lifters. And what they'll do is they'll grind the cam facing, they'll grind the face, they'll recontour it, smooth it, right, and send it back out. That was like a normal procedure. Shops used to do that. That was like any machine shop. You drop off a set of lifters, and they would do the lifters for you. This is back in the 1950s, 1960s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then it became more commercialized, and they were available over the counter, and nobody bought it to rebuild. It's just like fuel pumps. You know, there was a day when every fuel pump was rebuildable, and then you got to like in the 70s, and it's like, you know, nothing's rebuildable anymore. You buy a new one.
Right.
So it
right.
became the same thing with things like lifters. But now it's the standards have changed. The accuracy of the machining, of the reconditioning process has changed. It's not as precise as it was. So there's an epidemic now. It's not just my channel. There's dozens of people with channels that build engines and so on and so forth, and they're all having exactly the same issues.
Yeah. Now, that makes a lot of sense when you explain it that way. It really does because... like you said, supply and demand, you know, the flat top again. I just want to throw my 2 cents in on the whole zinc thing with oil, because at the shop I work at, I had to get two engines started recently that were older engines, flat tappet engines, and they both had no problems. We had no cam failures. Well, one of them had been rebuilt but sitting for like 20 years, so it had old parts in it. But one of the engines I have is in my Fiat, and that is that's an overhead cam, but it's considered flat tap because it's shim and bucket. And I just never put a zinc oil in the car. I just use off-the-shelf oil in that car. And one of the theories is if an engine was, in quotes, conditioned with zinc-rich oil through the years, like they used to say with leaded valves, you know, when you had if the heads were conditioned and coated, you could run unleaded gas and not have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been running regular off-the-shelf oil in that engine now I've had the car 16 years and have no problems. So...
A lot of it has to do with the valve springs. Let's say you've got it's not that the metal parts become conditioned, but there's so, like, for instance, let's say you've got a 1972 307 Chevy, right? And it's got 300,000 miles on it. It's got the original valve springs, and the motor will run fine to 4,800, 5,000 RPM, even though the springs are shot. They'll control the engine to that RPM, and you'll be in good shape. There isn't enough spring pressure to create the kind of a force between the cam and lifter interface to cause type of friction. So things will rotate and everything will be just fine, and you'll motor down the road. Now you take that same engine and you put a fresh set of valve springs in it, or let's say a new cam lifters, a fresh set of valve springs, a high performance valve springs. Now you've changed the dynamic of this thing altogether.
Yeah,
and now you've got some serious effort. So that Fiat, I'm imagining, probably has very light valves and very light spring pressures.
Right.
So you can probably get away with it.
That's a good theory. That's one way of looking at it. Sure, I think that's a viable thought. And that's what I like about watching your channel, because it's like spitballing it with the guys. Everybody has an idea, and you get to vocalize them. So we appreciate you sharing that with us, because that's gold.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So Tony, listen, we're getting to the end of our show. We're going to have to run in a minute or two. This is a stupid question to ask you, I know, but like, what's coming down the road for Uncle Tony? You have anything planned? Yeah, I know you.
Well, Plan Z is going to hit. We were going to go last night, but it's raining out here.
Yeah.
So Plan Z is going to hit the track next Saturday, and we'll see what that does. Then we get right back on Bottle Rocket. I got to get at least one good number out of it. That thing's been just one breakage after another. So with any luck, we'll get a number out of that car before the end of the season. What else is going on? Getting heavy into the Jeep thing. I'm getting a kick out of it. I've got a couple of XJs, and
right.
I'm starting to hook up some of the local Jeep people or just more offloading. What else? I don't know, man. Just this stuff comes.
Well, that's what I mean, because I know your channel is just like yourself. It's stream of consciousness. But like, what happened today? Hey, that's the video. So that's why I laughed at myself. So, Tony, throw out your information, how people can get a hold of you, how they can find you, and... Let's hear from
don't find me. I've got too many people trying to find me.
Okay. Well, we won't sell Rocco. We won't send Rocco or Bruno down. We'll leave them here.
I walk outside and there's people making a slow lap in front of my house.
Oh, jeez.
It's crazy. YouTube brings out a lot of craziness.
Yeah.
No, but Uncle Tony's Garage on YouTube, and we post pretty much every day, every other day. We do lives every... And you guys, you want to pop up... Actually, you know what? I'd love to have you guys as a guest on one of our lives. Just let me know one night that you can do it, and we'll get you on there. But we do the regular lives. We do Wednesday night tech talk, and then which we try to keep strictly just the nuts and bolts, and then we do a Sunday night show that we can start to get into some pretty crazy stuff and get that again sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, which is the way I like it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. Tony, we'll be in touch. Yeah. We'll take you up on that. That sounds like a great idea.
Definitely.
Thank you.
We like it too, definitely.
All right, well, let me let you... Thank you for coming on the show. Thank Uncle Kathy, because now that I got her number, now I know how to get to you. So
there you go.
I figured it out.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Tony, keep putting out the great content, brother. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
So long.
Thank you, Uncle Tony. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Uncle Tony and from Uncle Tony's Garage. We all enjoy his stuff.
And, good stuff,
and
yes.
Our good stuff is coming to an end because Kim is getting ready to do Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen, and the people in the band who they played with and whatnot. So we're going to go home and digest Uncle Tony's thoughts, because it's always good stuff. I want to go build something again. It's, kind of makes you want to do that.
Keep up with that stream of consciousness, probably.
Coming up soon, Chris, we're going to have, we do have coming up... one of the guys from R1 Concepts, the brakes I put on the FJ. We're going to get someone from that company on the show maybe next week. I'll let you know.
All righty.
So until then, what do we tell people that are waiting in the parking lot?
Don't follow us home. We're not on YouTube.
Now Chassie Johnson's at the end of the Plane and Traffic show on Thursday night. So that's it.
I love it.
For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll see you next week on Motor Mouth Radio. Keep where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
See you, bye.
All right. Bye-bye.